session of the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners. We're calling the meeting to order. Four o'clock. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill?
Here.
Commissioner Spence?
Here.
Commissioner Rome?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens?
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For changes and additions to the agenda, does anyone have any input for that today?
Commissioner Stevens, I have two changes. The first change, I think she has not logged on yet, but at the request of our attorney, we would like to move action item 7D up ahead of action item 7A. Court counsel Eileen Akins plans on logging in and will be available to answer any questions the commission has about the resolution amending public contracting rules and procedure. She has another meeting, I believe at 4:30, so this would help with her schedule. And then the second change is to strike item 7B from the agenda, which is the approval of the marina gut barge repair. We're still obtaining some information on that and possibly going to be able to get that done at a lower cost. So asking that we strike that from tonight's agenda.
Roger that. I'd also like to suggest that we move public contracting rules and procedures to a discussion item rather than an action item. I don't think that's going to be any trouble to do as long as the commission agrees. We have a commissioner that has some questions about it and wants some discussion with our attorney. So,
you can, did you make an advisory?
Yes, a discussion item. Advisory.
Lay it on the table till the next meeting and still discuss it.
Okay. Either way, we want to do that. We need to vote to do that. So, you would rather we had it as.
However, you want it.
Okay. The changes again. We're going to remove item 7B. We're going to move resolution 2024-05, which was item B, to a advisory item. And we'll do that right after our award presentation to help out to our attorney. Any discussion?
I don't see why that's being moved or not.
Commissioners, I don't know if you can hit Akins. I'm here. I can't tell if you can tell that I'm here, but I am.
We can hear you.
I think we should.
Okay, thank you.
Action item and see if that can be resolved and then pass it.
Okay, we'll leave it as an action item and we'll move to item A, 7A. I still need a commission approval for changes to the agenda.
So moved as presented by Executive Director Eisen.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Time for public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any topic. In person, those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Those participating via Zoom may raise their hands during the public comment period. Any public comment yet?
No comment.
Okay. Item 6, award presentation. I'd like to welcome Captain Lynn Tomorello.
Thank you, sir.
U.S. Coast Guard RET.
This is my podium here.
Sure, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, everyone, for inviting me out here. It's my pleasure to make this funding award to the Port of Astoria. I represent Northwest Oregon Works, which is a workforce development board that serves the counties Columbia, Clatsop, Tillamook, Lincoln, all the way down to Benton County. My specific role and position with Northwest Oregon Works is the Maritime Program Coordinator, which is I'm the first of its kind, so grassroots. And along with my position comes with funding. And my job is to vet and strategically invest those funds to enhance maritime operations or the maritime sector in those five counties. So with that said, the Port of Astoria put in a funding for a request for funding. It was approved, and I'm here to give the check to Will so that they can get a better forklift and enhance their maritime operations here at the Port of Astoria. So Will, if you will.
I'm the picture guy. Yeah, hanging out.
Where we're just, let's do it in front of the board.
So I'm gonna shake your thing that you're allowed of there.
And some bills.
Yeah.
Thanks, gentlemen. I took a bunch of it.
Appreciate it. Well.
Maybe it'll be the first thing on the wall in our new
space. Yeah, I've got a little stand for it too. I just appreciate your time. Cool. I appreciate what you guys do for the city of Astoria. And I know that the maritime industry is an absolute critical sector in the world we live in here and for the rest of the nation.
Thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate
Thank
it
you
very much. I promise I'm going to get him out of here two times.
Yeah. And I have he gave me the real check, too. So this is just.
Oh.
Can't sign that and bring it to the bank.
Cool.
So who do we have to thank? Was that Shane Jensen who wrote that grant?
Correct, and this will be for Boatyard Forklift. So appreciate, obviously, the support of Northwest Oregon Works. They've been very helpful, especially with Boatyard projects and supportive. So it's exciting, especially as we just completed the Boatyard Master Plan last month, and as I'll talk about later in my comments, already developing some plans for getting phase one started. So this is obviously a great way to kick things off.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just real quickly, just as a reminder, Northwest Oregon Works also gave us $25,000 to help with the Boatyard Master Plan. So this is their continued support, so appreciate that.
Very good. Who's going shopping for the forklift?
Yeah.
Little Teddy.
Joe Teddy, and I think he through the government surplus, may have already identified the forklift that we're after.
I'm sure the Boatyard's going to be back requesting a set of 8-foot forks. If it hasn't already got it.
All right. Let's move on to action 7A. That would be resolution 2024.05, amending public contracting laws and procedures. Hopefully you all have a red line copy of that.
I read mine online.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you'll find the resolution on page 52. Mr. Director.
Thank you, Commissioner Stevens. So the commission recalls several months ago we had Port Council out here on site and did a fairly lengthy training and presentation, mostly talking about port contracting rules, processes. And as a part of that, she had indicated that there were several portions of the port's current rules that needed some updating. The last full update to these rules was done, I believe, in 2017. So it'd been about 7 years. So in your packet on page 52, you do have a copy of the resolution and Exhibit A containing the rules behind it. Additionally, I did email yesterday, I believe, a redlined copy. Hopefully you all got that in your email so you could actually track the changes from the 2017 rules as compared to 2024. So with that, we do have, it looks like, Port Council on the Zoom call now. Eileen, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I can give you just a real quick orientation on why we made the changes that we made, and then I'll be happy to entertain any questions from the commission, if that's okay with you. I don't, the changes are pretty minimal. The primary issues, the primary reason for the changes are shown on page 6. If you look at sections for small procurements and intermediate procurements, under Oregon contracting law, contracts under a certain dollar amount have fewer or in some cases no competitive bidding requirements. You can do it if you want to, but you don't have to. Those numbers have been were increased as of the 1st of January. So the changes that you see for small procurements under section C1, it used to be that anything under $10,000, if you're just going to go purchase something, didn't have to be put out to bids. That number's gone up to $25,000. Same with construction. So when you look at paragraphs 1 and 2, that's what those two changes reflect. So anything under $25,000 in those categories is not required to be put out for bids if you choose not to do that. And then the intermediate procurements, which are contracts of kind of a moderate amount of money, those numbers have also gone up. So if you look at sections D, 1 and 2, those give you the new dollar amount. So there's now a range between $25,000 and $250,000 for just purchasing stuff. And then the second one is for construction, which has a lower cap on it, but now it's between $25,000 and $100,000. So again, competitive bidding is always an option, but it's not required under the contracting code for contracts of that size. So that's why those changes were made in those sections. And then the other changes that you'll see in the...
Councilor, could I ask you a question before you go on?
Yeah.
In order to use that money, you need the direction from the commission?
Well, we're gonna get to that. Let me elaborate a little bit.
It doesn't say that in this paragraph, why I was wondering.
Yeah, what the changes we just talked about are what the law says. And then Will and I had a conversation about how much, if any, changes to the authority of the executive director the commission wants to grant. So essentially, what the changes on page 6 are about what the law permits you to do. And from there, we go into whatever policy the commission sets in terms of what kinds of approval authority you want to have. And if you look at page 2, section A3, currently, under your existing rules, Will as the executive director or his designee can enter into contracts up to $25,000 for any single purchase, assuming it's budgeted, without needing to go back to the commission for approval. In the conversation that Will and I had, that we discussed whether, because the statutory amounts have gone up, the approval processes then become a matter of more administrative discretion. So the question came up, would it make sense to increase Will's authority to approve contracts without further approval of the commission? And the $75,000 that you see proposed in section A3 is a suggestion, but that's a conversation that the commission should have about how much authority you want to award for contracting generally. And then we made some more changes with respect to real estate, which is in section 4, which is not a lot different from what it used to be. There are a lot of changes there, except that we added a value component. Currently under the existing rules, the executive director or his designee can approve a real estate lease as long as the initial term is not more than 1 year. We proposed an amendment to that to also add a dollar value for those kinds of minor leases of things that may go longer than a year, but they don't cost very much. So the issue was whether we want to add a $25,000 cap to those. So that's what the changes you're seeing in subsection 4 are getting at. And then I added to clarify in that, we're talking about real estate leases. There are other kinds of leases like leasing a copier or, you know, the electronic equipment. Those are handled like a procurement, so you would handle those as you would a purchase of those kinds of things. But the changes that the editorial changes to those sections are to clarify that section 4 relates to real estate leases, which are specific to the port. And then the only other changes are really typographical or administrative in nature. If you look at page 3, there is a category for professional or personal services under the contracting code. If you look at section B2, those are construction-related professional services. I just added or related services just to clarify that that's also included in there under the statute, and that's a defined term in the statute. So any professional service that's related to construction is going to fall in that category. And related services are things that might not necessarily fall into one of the obvious categories, but might be related, like consulting. So that's an administrative change in section 2. And you'll see that in a couple of other places, section 3 as well. And then the definition, if you look on page 4, it refers back to the statutory definition of related services. I think those are all the changes. So the decisions for the commission, the statutory changes, you don't have to accept those if you don't want to, but the as edited, they tell you the maximum authority you have under the law for competitive bidding requirements. And then the other ones are more discretionary on the part of the commission in terms of how much authority do you want to delegate to your staff and how much does the commission want to reserve for yourselves in terms of approving contracts. So that, I think that gets to your question, Commissioner Campbell, about what needs to come back to the commission and what doesn't.
Okay. I didn't have this red line deal until I walked in, or I hadn't had a chance to go over that.
Oh, okay.
Questions for council and the commission? Comments?
I think this is fine. If anything wants, anybody wants to change anything, the only thing potentially would be if people want to change that $75,000 number down on 3A, or A3 rather. But I'm fine with it as it is. Mostly it's just a reflection of the statute, it sounds like. But I think we have all the information we need to move forward.
I might ask, Bill, what do you think of the $75,000 on that?
I think it's probably adequate. I used as a comparison the Port of Columbia County. They actually just changed theirs. I believe it used to be 50 and they moved it up to 100,000. The Port of Astoria has actually lowered theirs at one point. I was looking back at like 2013, and at that point the threshold was 50,000. And then sometime around 2015, it looked like it got lowered down to $25,000. So, Commissioner Campbell is around, and he might know why that happened. But I think for most of the day-to-day stuff we deal with, that would be adequate. And of course, we always, I think, take a really conservative approach when it comes to certain things that when we talk about budgeted versus unbudgeted. Technically, when we do our budgets, we have broad appropriation categories within each fund. So if you look at like the general fund where we spend most of our money, we appropriate based on things like personnel services, materials and services, capital outlay, and not by line item or by vendor or by project. So sometimes that gets confused a little bit because particularly with capital outlay, we get an approval through the budget to spend X amount in a given year, and then as the year progresses, we can spend up to that amount, and it's not until we exceed that that technically we're doing something that's unbudgeted. It's the same way with materials and services, where we do it by account when we meet with the budget committee. So we have things like supplies, we have different types of materials, we have utilities, and we estimate what those dollar values will be. Well, inevitably, you're not going to guess right on all of those, and within some of them, you're going to be above. Within some categories, you're going to be below. But Oregon budget law says that within the appropriation of materials and services or personnel, that you don't spend past that. Where we've been really conservative in the past, and again, it's usually with capital, is even if we have room in the capital budget, but we didn't specifically point that item out during the budget process, We take those to the commission. Tonight's an example of that. We have a $6,000 item that we have room in our capital budget. Oregon budget law would say, well, you have the budget appropriation to do it, but I've always just brought those to the commission because I think it's the most appropriate. So where this number really comes into play is for those large purchases that are part of the budget, but where it's appropriate to have commission approval on things of that type of dollar value. So ultimately, it's the commission's discretion. I do think that 25 is pretty low in this day and age. We don't get much work done for less than that at this point. And again, if there were things that the commission had not heard of or were not part of the budget document, those would, just like they do now, would likely be coming to the commission anyway.
So those things to be covered with the budget have to be part of the budget adoption in order for you to have that authority, so.
Correct.
We're pretty well covered there.
Seems like we're below what our neighbors are doing as far as neighboring courts, so this is just reflective of what state statute is. I think I would be willing to make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-05 as presented.
Second discussion. Now a motion and a second. Discussion.
I'm comfortable with the $75,000 figure also. You mentioned what it was like here in 2015. That was two executive directors ago, and there was a time of chaos, distrust in the administration, the handling of finance, and the commission had a tight, put the thumb on the administration to keep expenses down, and that's how it got reduced all the way down to 25. So we've come a long way. We have an excellent executive director who was the finance director prior to that. So I'm very comfortable with where the administration's at, and I'm very comfortable with the $75,000 figure.
Further discussion. Just one question. Remind me who the designees may be there in paragraph 3 of the delegation.
Where we're looking at? On page 53 of the packet?
No, page 2 of the contracting rules.
That's the same. It is page 53 of the packet, page 2.
Page 2 of the red line.
Number 4 in page 2. A4.
A3.
A3.
Yeah.
Eileen, do you want me to take a stab at that or do you want to answer? They're asking about designee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can tell you what it means in terms of the language, and then Will can elaborate in terms of the individual people that might qualify. The designee is essentially any executive director authorizes to do that. So if he has authority to approve a contract up to $75,000, he may then authorize another employee like Matt or someone to enter into a contract under his authority. So they would be, they're the designee as far as these contracting rules are concerned.
And internally how that works, we have separate documents and rules in place for staff for purchasing based on level in the org chart. Additionally, for those that have a credit card, within our credit card policy outlines what the maximum spend is before further approvals are needed. So we have a system in place for how that works on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
We'll be moving from 7A to 7C. Flatbed for maintenance truck. Director.
Thank you, Commissioner. commissioners, we turn to page 45 in your packet. You can see documentation for the purchase of the flatbed for the maintenance truck, which the commission had approved at a previous meeting for the purchase of the vehicle. Behind that, we have a summary sheet on page 46 outlining the bids that were solicited. Of course, at this price level, these were informal solicitations where the port reached out to potential vendors. We did three solicitations, one of them being Diamond K Sales. They were the low bidder at $6,062.36. And they're also the bidder that the port is recommending that we move forward with. Of note, they have this bed in stock and can be installed by our maintenance crew.
Questions for the group?
When they bid these, they didn't bid the bed in? Is that a mistake? Did somebody just forget it or what?
No, we originally purchased this through, I believe it was Astoria Ford. It was without the bid. That was going to be an additional item that we were going to get from a separate vendor.
We've got to have a bid. You can't haul them. I'll move we accept this bid.
Second.
Discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. We'll move to review and approve lease agreement for Suite 209. We have someone online or over phone?
We do, but before we do that, this starts on page 4 of your packet, a copy of the lease agreement. But we have our properties and terminal manager. Sue Transu is in the back row here, and I asked her to attend tonight because she was the person primarily responsible on the port's end for negotiating and getting this this lease completed. So, Sue, did you have anything on the lease you wanted to talk about?
Just basically, good evening, commissioners. Just give you a quick review of the tenant. The tenant is Dr. Terrio, Dr. Aaron Terrio, and his wife Kathleen Terrio. He is basically requesting a 5-year lease for Suite 209 to commence August 1st of this year. And they are making some improvements because the business is a chiropractic business. And just to give you a little background on Dr. Terrio, he was born and raised in southern Louisiana, and he joined the U.S. Navy and spent 4 years as an aviation electrician on the USS Constellation. He attended nursing school in Nicholas State University and worked as a nurse for 12 years, and then changed his career to chiropractic. He graduated in 2012 with his doctorate, and he's looking to start his new business with his wife. That's what's going on. So, do you have any questions?
There's a pretty sophisticated construction going along with it. So that with all the wind and everything going in there.
Don't tell me you feel about that.
Huh?
I have a question for you. So,
sure.
What do the new tenants do occupation-wise? Or?
He's currently a chiropractor, and he's been doing it for 12 years. He's been practicing for 12 years at this point. But this is a new business for that he and his wife have created.
There's a huge demand for that service.
The radiation shielding, that was interesting to read.
I have no idea what they're saying.
Do we have anything specified in the lease that addresses that?
They're going through the diagram. They've actually had the contractor put together the information in the diagrams that were attached to the agreement. Mm-hmm. And so there, I think there's some additional information still pending, but most of the information is in there in regards to what the layout will be for them.
Yeah, and if I could just dovetail on that, part of the contingency for the lease is that that has to pass engineering standards. So we have to have engineering structural standards
to make
sure that they can handle the extra equipment and the lead lined room.
There we go. Okay, so.
Do you have any other questions?
Further questions?
years, it would just convert to a month-to-month.
Assuming they wanted the five-year lease so they could cover their costs of setting up their operation, which looks like it's quite a lot of setup required to get into that. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Move we approve the lease agreement for Suite 209.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Not opposed? It's a unanimous. Well, would you think Katie Thoreau, is she online now, or do we know?
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking us out of our...
Yeah. Okay. That concludes our action items.
No, you didn't get...
What didn't I get?
Three, or two.
Hike.
Let's see. You didn't get the gut wagon.
We're going to postpone that one.
That was hard to change to the agenda.
Okay.
We're trying to see if we can't get a cheaper...
Sharpen their pencils, see what they can do.
A less expensive way of...
The cow being fish gets... We get all of your...
Okay.
All house cows.
So we're in for commission comments now. Commissioner Campbell.
I don't have anything, except it's nice to be over here. More convenient meeting place. Looks great. You guys did a good job.
Commissioner Rowe?
Echo Commissioner Campbell's comments and thank the new tenants of our 209. I'm glad to see that creating income for the port. And glad that staff has done an excellent job, it looks like, of creating a meeting space for us that I think is probably far more appropriate.
It is commendable. Commissioner Spence.
Yes, I want to compliment the maintenance crew for converting this empty space into the very attractive meeting room. They did an excellent job, and I compliment them for doing a good job.
I can envision a mural, since we don't have the view anymore.
Yeah, we've got to do something. The walls are pretty bare.
Well, we have all our plaques to put up, right?
Yeah, we'll...
Okay.
I'm not an interior designer, so maybe somebody on staff who has a keener eye for that can help.
You're me. A man of many talents, Mr. Director.
Get an help this year, maybe we can help.
Yeah. Mr. Hill.
I would echo all the comments formerly made about the room. This is the right place.
I have nothing to report of interest. We'll move on to executive director comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have a lengthy list tonight. I had this at the end of my list, but I guess since each commissioner brought it up, I also want to thank our maintenance team. I think it was 40 days that they had to convert this place. And I think it's worth noting, too, Wells Electrical Contracting came in here, and he's busy on very short notice and kind of did us a favor and skipped us at the head of the line to get some of this work done. So without that, we would not have been able to have this meeting. And as I think talked about before the meeting started, we are working on a more permanent audio solution with the microphones. We had actually gone out for some bids for that were quite high. So that's another one we're going back to the drawing board and seeing if there's a way that we can get that done a little bit less expensive for a room this size. So again, I appreciate Joe and his team for making this happen. So to the updates here, I guess the first one that's notable, I had a meeting today and Matt and I have spent quite a bit of time recently with Popkin Real Estate working on the redevelopment of the hotel as kind of the first big step in the waterfront master plan. And so the tentative plan at this point is at our next meeting on August 6th that we will have an intent to bid document in front of the commission for approval. We've been talking a lot about process and how we go about this. And so the first step that we've settled on is to get a pretty generic, short solicitation out there that we will market via various publications, website, word of mouth. But the first step being an intent to bid so that we know who the pool of bidders will be. I think we heard through the planning process, and I've heard from a number of folks over the last probably 12 to 18 months that have some interest in this development project. So figuring out who that pool of bidders will be, and that will give us an opportunity to, if we don't get a lot of bidders, to sort of go back to the drawing board and reevaluate how we want to solicit. If we get a good pool, then we would move on to the next step where we would request formal qualifications and proposals from that pool of bidders who intend to submit something for the project. And then as we go through this, that first step likely will be 30 to 45 days on the intent to bid, and then another 90 days or so to get your proposals submitted. We will host a number of things, probably some in-person visits where we can tour the area for those interested parties, and then also form a committee to review the proposals, interview potential candidates, and I think in doing so, Popkin Real Estate would be involved with that, our administrative team would be involved with that, and then I'll be asking the commission to appoint two members of the commission to be involved with that as well. So that we can have a kind of a good subset of the port, and then ultimately get to a recommendation that obviously would come in front of the full commission. We'd have a full presentation, an opportunity for public input, and then ultimate approval from the commission. And so both Matt and I have been pushing really hard on Popkin to get this thing moving, and so things have really sped up. And again, don't hold me to it, but tentatively for that August 6th meeting, our plan is to have that intent to bid document ready for approval so that we can get that out there and figure out who's interested in the project. So I think that's exciting news and going to be a big development for the port.
Are they doing anything else with their other properties? The silence has been deafening.
They are. There's a number of things going on. We've been discussing several different properties. If the commission recalls here a couple months ago, we had decided we wanted to move forward on the property currently occupied by Terry's Plumbing to get a lot line adjustment. And so they're helping us move that process forward. I've actually had multiple discussions with Terry's Plumbing in the meantime, kind of asking for status updates because they're a little bit in limbo in terms of their future and the ability to potentially purchase that building. We've also done quite a bit of work and had a number of talks on further airport industrial park development, which Popkin's been really helpful with. And so things are moving, but of course the planning stage of these things and them, you know, getting their work done in terms of an evaluation of these properties, looking, you know, getting market analysis done, figuring out what some of these things are worth is taking a little bit of time. And I've really pushed on them to jump this hotel redevelopment to the front of the line because I think it's important and will help us really get the waterfront master plan coming to fruition, which is, you know, something that we've worked on for a long time, partnered with the city on, and I think the public is waiting to hear kind of what the next steps will be.
Thank you.
A couple other meetings that I've had recently, and these really tie in to phase one of the boatyard. Obviously we had good news tonight with Northwest Oregon Works and the grant we received, but I did have a meeting last week with the City of Astoria manager talking about urban renewal dollars that the city has. I've also spoke with a city councilor about this, and city council is planning on this fall having as a workshop and ultimately an action item, talking about the process for how these urban renewal dollars will be dispersed, what some of the priorities are. And so the city was asking the port where they thought there could be some benefit if they were gonna invest in some of the port projects. And I think with the large amount of support that we've had for the boatyard, the fact that, you know, really supporting the commercial fishing fleet, I think it's something that, publicly, that there's a lot of support for, that people are behind, and I think it's, you know, fairly, you know, nothing's non-controversial, but I think in terms of how projects go, I think it's one that would be easy for the, city to get behind. And so we're going to be having a meeting here coming up with the city manager, the mayor, the president of our commission, Commissioner Stevens, and I, to kind of talk more formally about how that might work before council gets together this fall. And so I think that's exciting news. And then yesterday I met with, I don't know how long he's been there, but he's fairly new. He came from the city of Warrenton. But the planning manager for Clatsop County, Jay Blake, about an economic opportunity analysis that they're putting together. And within that analysis, they're looking at kind of different pillars of, the economy in the region, including things like healthcare. But one of the big ones they're looking at is, a term that you're probably familiar with called the blue economy, which is really ocean-based, marine-based economies. And the county has an interest in getting input from the port on that, and how we might play a part in that. And again, that can, I think, very easily tie back to getting our boatyard phase one underway, and supporting our, users out there. So all this to say, I've been spending quite a bit of time sort of lining things up and getting some support behind getting phase one of the boatyard project moving. So I think that's good news, and I know we have our boatyard managers here today. And it's just, there's been so much the last couple of years that, has gone on to this, and we've got so much feedback from our users out there, that I think it's time, and, they want to see some, movement on this. And so anything we can do to speed up the process, we're going to be pushing on. The next one tomorrow, Director McGrath and I will be heading to Portland to DEQ's office for the first step in our appeal over, Pier 2. So I think that meeting is tomorrow at 11 a.m. I don't really know what to expect. We're going to go there, and, we have a, number of questions that we're going to be asking about sort of the process and how we can move this project forward without having these enforcement actions that come forward from, Oregon DEQ. And so I will definitely debrief the commission after we meet with them. But I'm hopeful that, we can get some, progress on this.
Maybe you should invite former Senator Betsy Johnson to join you at that meeting.
Yeah, and she might have some opinions on it. But and then a couple other quicker items here. We are hosting Congresswoman Buonamici this Thursday at, 10 o'clock in, this room. She's hosting, it's an invite-only small ports forum, and she's invited the commission presidents as well as administrative teams from the, small ports in her district. And so I think we'll have representatives from the ports of, Garibaldi, Tillamook, Columbia County that I think are confirmed at this point, but that'll be Thursday at 10 a.m. And Commissioner Stevens has it on, his calendar to, attend as well.
Do you work with Columbia County particularly to see if working together maybe we can somehow maybe even work to get the Army Corps to assume more dredging responsibilities in the lower, in our area?
Yeah, I don't know if we've worked specifically with Columbia County on that, but we're fairly communicative with them.
Somehow creating a permitting opportunity where enough people are involved where they
And dredging tends to be one of those topics when ports get together that always gets talked about. I know it's something that, that Ray Buhager, our federal relations lobbyist, he gets a lot of feedback on that. And I know that Congresswoman Buonamici has heard that from me about what an issue dredging, particularly for the Port of Asperia, is for us, what it costs us annually, and in the future what that might look like with our aging dredge, and probably sooner rather than later needing to do something different there. And ultimately this comes down to money, of having the funding to either A, hire it out, or having a better dredge. And then the last one, this is kind of kind of cool. If commissioners want to check it out right after the meeting here, but I received a letter in the mail from former Senator Betsy Johnson, and it says, "Dear Will, this came from an estate in St. Helens. I thought you might find it interesting. And what it is, it's a Port of Astoria mooring basin lease for a Walden Dillard, and it's dated August 25th, 1947, and it's for a month-long moorage at the basin for $10. She sent that in the mail. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, I think that is all I have for you.
Questions for the director?
I got a, are we through there behind the overbays and putting that drainage up? How come we left those trees there? They left trees standing in the cleared area. In the area they cleared? They cleared all around, but they left the trees standing.
I told Mike to clear what he cleared, so I just, that was the scope of what he was told.
I think, when do we start clearing over behind the garbage people there?
Next Monday.
How much are they going to take out of there? I would hope they take the whole thing.
It's a little over an acre.
What would it take to take the whole thing out of there?
We can't go back and redo the permit right now. It's, we have to, if we were going to do something additional there, it would be another probably year before we would get permission to do it. That was a long process to get that permission.
That's a mess. There. It'd be nice to get that out of there.
Further questions?
Discussion?
For the director?
For our upcoming meeting dates, regular session, August 6th, as previously stated, right here at 4 p.m., a workshop session, August 20th, 4 p.m. Nothing further. We'll adjourn the meeting. Yes, sir.
Tim.
I missed the public comment because I was over at the other building.
Okay, wait a minute. We are re-adjourned. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Name?
Rob Sykes. I'm a local commercial fisherman, and we also have a little restaurant. Thank you for letting me address you, commissioners, and this is a beautiful new meeting space. So I just wanted to come in here because I recently finished up a bunch of work on my boat at the shipyard, and I wanted to come in and give you a pat on the back for continuing to support that operation. And, the other day I was reading the paper, and there's an article that said, Oregon is the oldest state west of the Mississippi. We have an average age of 40.7 years old in this state, which if you're like me, that needs crew for my fishing boat and dishwashers for my restaurant, but that's not good news, you know, because we need young people to work in our businesses, you know. So, that saying, necessity is the mother of invention, when I was coming up through the ranks, there was a lot of available crew, but fewer jobs, you know, so competition for the job was tough, but now we're competing for the crew, us boats, and so we have to think outside the box a little, and back when I was coming up through the ranks, you know, you got paid for a percentage of what you caught, and that was it. You know, your shipyard work was considered Jesus work. You know, you're just doing it for free, just for the ability or the opportunity to go fishing. But now that we're competing for deckhands, we have to treat them more like humans and pay them more competitively. And so, how this gets back to the shipyard. The shipyard, because it's a shipyard where I'm allowed to do as much of the work as I want, which includes painting and, stuff that anyone can do, unskilled labor. And so, since I'm able to do that, save myself paying a shipyard worker, I started paying my crew while we're in the shipyard, you know, and that helps keep them around, you know, and when word gets out that you pay people for shipyard work, then, you know, they're wanting to work on your boat, you know. So, anyway, this shipyard is really giving me the ability to retain good crew and also help them develop their skills for working on boats, you know. So, I mean, that's a win-win all around for me. Because, you know, the only thing worse than not having crew for your boat is having bad crew, because you can go backwards real fast if someone makes an expensive mistake and cause you liability, you know. So, anyway, I just wanted to come in and tell you what an asset this is for the community, and it's helping people like me that, you know, still got a few years before I can retire, stay in business and keep good crew on my boat, and also help them, you know, learn the skills that are necessary to be good crew. So, anyway. Thank you very much.
Well, we thank you for the testimonial. That's very valuable. What's new at the restaurant?
What's what?
What's new at the restaurant?
It's been extremely busy. Fortunately, two of my kids, well, I tell everyone, you know, if I would have known I was going to end up with a fishing boat and a restaurant, we would have had more kids.
They could be working.
Yeah. We're finally starting to get our investment back out of them, you know.
Good.
But anyway, it's
you still have the upstairs bar?
Yeah.
It's a good hiding place.
And after October, we'll have more bottles of the whiskey that I've been aging on top of the boat.
All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
This really adjourns the meeting.